Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome, everybody, to this issue commentary. Now, this is the issue commentary for the February 2018 issue. If you are listening or watching this in January 2018, this issue is on sale now. And here it is. If you enjoy this issue, if you enjoy this podcast, please tell your friends. I still think we're one of the only motoring media brands that give you this kind of flavour of what happens behind the scenes, how we put the issue together, the thinking that goes into features and columns and the news. So yes, please tell your friends. And this is the first time in a while, gentlemen, and actually let me introduce our panel. We have Damon Cogman, who is our art editor. We have Joe Dunn, who's our deputy editor.
Hello.
And we have Lyndon McNeil, our photographer, our staff photographer here. I'm Nick Trott, the editor. Yes, chaps. So Colin McRae and a rally car on the cover of Motorsport.
What a way to start the new year.
And it's not just a Colin McRae and a rally car. What a fantastic image. But this has been in the works for a while, hasn't it? We talked about this
one. Yeah, I think this one goes back sort of probably 7 or 8 months or something, doesn't it? And we have this content pot plan, don't we? What we're gonna do over the coming months? And that one went straight in, didn't it? It was like it's like right, we're doing that. That's it.
Yeah.
So 10 years after his death, it was like we've got to celebrate Colin. Of course we have.
Why Colin McRae, Joe? Let's get to the root of this. Why Colin?
Well, I mean, there's two reasons, I suppose. Isn't it? I mean, one is just on the basis of his amazing talent. He is a driver that you know, motorsport should be celebrating. But also, I think because you know, there aren't many when it comes to rallying, it's not an obvious cover for a magazine like Motorsport. There's only one person, I think we all discuss it, there's only one person really that would make a cover, you know, from the world of rally, and that is Colin. He just has that hold over people, regardless of the discipline, and people are interested in him. He sort of transcends his sport, which I don't think, you know, not that many sportsmen, let alone drivers, managed to do, but he managed to do it.
And
so I think he's a worthy cover, and I think it's a great cover. Love it.
So, Lyndon, when you're looking for photographs. Lyndon also searches various image archives looking for the best shots. And you've done this for a fair while now. When you're looking for images of Colin McRae, I imagine it must be like looking for images of Gilles Villeneuve or...
There's a limited amount, but you're also still looking for the ones that have never been seen.
Yeah.
And it's the standout ones that you're trying to find and something that, like I say, that hasn't been publicised everywhere, like there's iconic shots, but we're looking for that extra iconic shot that still hasn't been seen, and hopefully with this one.
Yeah, big thanks to McLean, of course, because they helped us out a lot with this, didn't they? Because they obviously put these book together, and they kind of scurried away in the background trying to find some amazing shots of Colin for us. So they put a few aside for us to kind of, knowing that it was coming up in a few months' time, tucked a few away for us. So hats off to them for that.
And was it a kind of a conscious effort to find pictures that represented his personality? So not necessarily the really highly polished action shots of him in a car, but just the shots that maybe quality's not so great, but you immediately go, yeah, that's Colin.
You know it's Colin, yeah, exactly. Straight away. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, the cover shot is, you know, it's of its time, you know, it's an image that isn't incredibly sharp. It's not like the most pin sharp digitally enhanced shot in the world. But what it does is it's Colin. It's absolutely him in a nutshell. The thing's on one wheel. One of the tyres is sort of compressed. So, I mean, it's a square tyre.
He's on the rim, isn't he?
He's on the rim. He's on one wheel. He's on one wheel.
That tyre is trying to get off that car, isn't it?
He knows what's coming.
I've had enough of this.
Yeah, the rest know what's coming. It's absolutely encompasses everything that we loved Colin for. And
but there
continued.
there was another shot, wasn't there? There was a shot of him in his Ford, which was similar.
Yeah.
In
yeah.
sense that it was flying out of the page at you. It was a dramatic image.
It was about 20 foot off the ground, wasn't it? It was,
yeah. I mean, I like that one as well. Yeah. But there was a lot of discussion amongst us about which one we should go for, and ultimately, obviously, the Subaru is the car that he is.
Infamous
for,
isn't
it?
It screams Colin, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But there were other options in the pot. I mean, and that's one of the great things. I love it when we've got four really strong covers. Mm. And we can all sit around and talk about which one we prefer and make the arguments for and against. And then Nick says, I love that one.
Yeah. Sorry, were you talking?
No, we did. We had these. We print them out, don't we? Put them on the wall. We put them on the wall behind us, and we stand back a couple of meters. We try and work out how people are going to visualise them, see them on the newsstand, what's going to capture their attention. And this one certainly ticked all the right boxes. I mean, it does kind of bug me slightly that it's... I guess we get so used to seeing super sharp images today. You know, when you look at a contemporary F1 picture,
it's
you can
zoom
up in
all the way through.
Oh, man, yeah.
But you think this was taken 15 years ago?
Isn't it?
Yeah.
This will be scanned film.
Yeah.
This will be scanned from a 35mm neg that was in the middle of a desert. Yeah. You know, especially rally. It's amazing. Yeah. All the old rally shots are kind of. They degraded a lot more because they're out in the dust and the dirt and everything. Yeah, because the sort of the quality of rally shots is all from the old days.
Temperature extremes as well, from the snow to the ice and then up to the deserts as well. And then obviously when you're bringing the films back, it all used to go through X-rays. So it's all little things.
So all the while you're taking a layer of
pretty much
quality off
it. Absolutely, yeah.
But ultimately this is... This shot's Colin, isn't it? Look at this. He's crossed up. He's on one wheel.
You can see through the screen. You can see his face.
You can see. And that's Nicky Drist, isn't it? In the car with him.
Yeah.
I wonder what he's thinking.
Not again. Oh, it really hurt the last time.
I think it's wonderful. We had a lot of fun putting this together. But Joe, at the centre of the story, it was a trip, wasn't it? And Lyndon, obviously.
Yes.
It was. And in fact, it was kind of... Yeah, we decided to base the whole story on a trip to Italy. So what was the trip and what did...
Well, it was the annual Rally Legends event,
which
does happen every year. But this year they decided to celebrate McRae because of the 10-year anniversary since his death. And they said they were going to get as many world champions or former world champions as possible together. People often say this sort of thing, and organisers of events often say this sort of thing, and then maybe three people turn up. But this particular one, I think
everyone was there.
I mean, was it 15, 10 or 15 former champions, rally champions
great.
Turned up?
Sure, isn't it? 60
We've got a fantastic image in here of them all.
Yeah,
they're waving.
They're all waving apart from one.
Sebastian Loeb.
Sebastian Loeb has decided to keep his hands in his back.
No,
pocket.
I like to think he's already waved.
Yeah.
So he's so competitive. He had to get his wave over and done with before Ogier there. But what page is that? Page 65, if you're looking at this. I think this is probably the point where I usually say, if you haven't got the issue in front of you, go down to the newsagents and buy one. So, stop listening to this podcast. Go and buy one.
Yeah, pause. Pause.
Pause.
Come back.
And come back and check out page 65. And we've got Stig Blomqvist, Sebastian Loeb. Is there Mickey Biasi on in there?
Yes.
Sebastian
Ogier,
Ari Vatanen, Joe's best mate.
Didier Auriol.
Petter Solberg.
Well, we've got Nicky Grist as well.
Yeah. I mean, Nicky was great, wasn't he?
He was great. And Dan Trent actually was the journalist who went over there for us. And... as ever with these sorts of things, it can be a bit of a bun fight when there's lots of people. And he did a great job of collaring as many people as he could, talking to them and saying, what are your memories of Colin McRae? Simple as that.
Yep.
It sounds simple, but actually getting hold of the people and getting them to actually talk eloquently about something it can be tricky. But they've all come up with how they remember him, what their experiences of him were.
It was surprisingly easy because everybody was there and everybody was so happy to talk. I think because it was such a celebration of Colin and his life, everybody was happy to talk about him and be interviewed about it as well. Yeah, so it was one of those, you think it's going to be Mission Impossible, but it actually worked in everyone's favour because they were all, like I say, coming back and coming up to us, and we'd obviously seen Ari a couple of weeks before.
Yeah.
And then the fact that he'd seen us and remembered me from our lunch with and came over and talked to us, which was really handy.
It's because you're unforgettable, Lyndon.
Well, you try and leave an impression. But
yeah, exactly.
And even seeing...
Come back to Harry.
When you smash up someone's house.
Sorry about the vase again.
Oh, can we tell that story? I
think the moment's passed.
Okay.
But if you want to know, write in to Joe.
To Joe, yeah, find out what happened.
He'll tell you all about the broken vase.
Thankfully, the candle wasn't lit.
So getting back to Ali Lynn. Well, I was going to ask Lyndon, actually, whether he would recommend that our readers jump on an aeroplane, hire a car.
Do it. Sadly, we were only there for the day, or we flew out the night before and went for the final day. But the whole three-day event is incredible. The cars there are fantastic. There's Group Bs, there's Group As, there's Group Ns, there's cars you don't expect to see. There's 037s and S4s.
And a larder.
And a larder. There's about 30
there's
larders.
Larder there, and you managed to put the picture
there. They were full on sideways everywhere. They were there for a laugh.
Who doesn't want to see a larder going sideways?
Exactly.
our readers, maybe.
We'll see after this.
We'll see,
if you want to write in and complain about the picture of a larder, Damon Cogman. At the usual address. So what time of year? And give us an idea. How much for a flight? How much for a hotel? How much for a hotel?
When
did
we... Was it October? I think October in San Remo. Flights were fairly easy. Ryanair straight out to Rimini, Bergamo, wherever you want. I mean, a couple of hours drive from a few airports and everything. Hotels were cheap. We stayed on the Rimini coast, and it was just a great couple of days.
So a couple of you could go out there, you know,
150 quid, 200 quid,
bit of money,
and three days, and it's a really really good event. Goes through into the night, so you've got different spectacles. We were only there for one stage, and even that, I mean, the crowds were phenomenal, all up the hills, up the banking. And you put a foot wrong, all the crowds jeered and jeered, and made you feel completely stupid. But
you want to tell us something?
Oh no, just one of the journalists, maybe. tried climbing a wall and.
Right. Okay. Didn't quite make it. Joe, you spoke to Chris Meek, didn't you, for this?
Yeah. Well,
for the piece on page 70.
Page 70. We've got a piece. Yes, Chris Meek is writing about. He's remembering Colin, who was his teammate with Citroën, and only for a season. But he writes about driving Colin's car, Colin's Zara. And we were kind of conscious that we didn't have a sort of test of one of Colin's cars, which we would normally have in this sort of kind of a package of stories. And we thought, you know, what better way of sort of telling the story of one of his cars and getting Chris Meek to drive it, current world champion, current world rally driver, you know, to test it for us, and he's done a really nice piece, and it kind of veers between sort of road, you know, to test of the car, into his memories of Colin and how close they were, and how Colin mentored him as a young up and coming driver, and how he sort of lived with the family and wouldn't be where he is today without Colin. So it's a really nice read.
On page 72, the McRae package continues with a story of the tremendous 1995 season, which I subbed this copy from a bigger piece, actually. And as I was going through it, it just felt like I was working on a treatment for a film script. I mean, you know, we've seen Rush, we've seen a few good and bad motor racing films, mostly bad motor racing films. But I just think there's something very filmic about this. Yeah. This season,
that 95 season. Yeah. And if you read this, it has absolutely everything, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yep. Controversy.
Don't want to give it all away, but I'm sure spoilers. But it happened a while ago, so I think we're all right.
Spoilers.
I think we know what. I think we know what happened at the end of it.
Did Colin McRae win, Dave?
Can't give away. Can't give away the ending, surely.
But that's maybe one day we can. Maybe one day we'll work on movie production and we'll produce a film on that.
Fantastic
year. Yeah. Wrapping up the Colin McRae package is a fantastic lunch with Jimmy, Colin's father, and Simon Aaron jumped on a plane and went up to see Jimmy at home in Scotland. And again, it's a lovely treatment. I mean, the lunch with is just great, isn't it, Joe? Because we, you just allow the subject just to talk. Yes, you know, it's their story, it's their words. We really don't do much to the copy, do we?
I mean, the whole idea of, I think it was born, you know, as a way of just having allowing somebody to talk in an informal setting, in a non-interview kind of way, and tell their story really. Mm. That's exactly what Jimmy does here, and he just tells a story to to Simon, and Simon keeps him on track every now and again. But it's just a lovely, lovely read, which just encompasses a tremendous career really. Obviously, it's tinged with sadness. But it's a lovely piece of lovely record really of Jimmy's career.
Brilliant. So that's the cover package, everyone, in the February 2018 issue, issue 1110 of Motorsport. I'm going to jump back and just give you an idea of what the kind of regulars that are in the magazine at the moment. So International News and Formula One News. It's a great piece on Haas, the American Formula One team, state of play, where it's succeeding, where it's failed. It's a good story from Mark Hughes. And then everything through from historic news, club racing, Tomorrow's World, which is a great column written by our digital editor, Jack, looking into the future of motorsport and what that might be. Columnists Mark Hughes, Dickie Meade, Matt Oxley, Richard Williams, Doug Nyer, there's Gordon, our editor at large. Letters, we've added some more letters in, haven't we?
Got an extra half page of letters.
Yeah, and we'd love to put in more, and maybe we will going ahead, but got some more letters in there. They were always just such a great read. You know, there's just some controversy in there usually, and there's...
Well, it's a cliche, isn't it, sometimes to say that, our mailbag is bulging. But, I mean, every month we get so many letters, not just through the post, but emails and
quite, as well. We're quite unique, I think, because a lot of magazines, a lot of people in general don't tend to write letters anymore, but we get tons. Like, we get loads
of... Far more than when I was at Evo. We just have an audience who like to converse.
Yeah. Yeah. Carry on.
Keep sending. And if you email us, we do try to respond to as many emails as we can. And I think we've actually got a pretty good hit rate of returning emails. So don't be shy. Please get in contact with any of us on the Motorsport team. You can find the email address on the website, motorsportmagazine.com. And actually, while we're on other platforms, check out our digital edition. It's going great guns at the moment. The more of you are downloading the digital edition, you can find out more about that on the Motorsport Magazine website. Our video channel on YouTube in particular is going very well too. We've completed our first season of the How to Drive film series. Dickie Meade and driving all sorts of weird and wonderful stuff. And I'm going to dive back into the features now. What's next? Group C.
Group C.
Joe, how did this one come about?
Well, this was a Nigel Rees, obviously, who's written for us before, brilliant technical mind, and has a really nice way of explaining very complicated topics in pretty understandable terminology. Mm. And so he's done a great piece here on ground effects in Group C and explaining how it worked and what the impact was. And we've got some great cutaway diagrams here as well.
Page 80.
And we've properly got beneath the skin of all of these. I don't know if I can hold this up and
show
the camera. Yeah. It's just great stuff to sort of lose yourself in for a while.
Good work from the art desk there. We're just thinking, okay, how can we get... Yeah. Under the skin.
There we go.
That's it. No, it's a fab shot. It really is.
Oh, it's just brilliant. And the other great thing about this is that we managed to find one of the Group C cars, which Lyndon went and photographed, going to be, in fact, it's going to be on our stand at Race Retro, which I'm sure we'll talk about.
Yeah, here. Stoneleigh Park. It's 23rd to 25th of February. We have a partnership with the Race Retro show. It's a fantastic show. It's what a great way. I just think it's a fantastic way to start the season. You feel like you're in a race paddock. It's got a very kind of homely vibe to it.
It's as cold as one. Usually.
bring a jacket.
Bring a coat and a bobble hat, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, we're there. I'll be on the stage interviewing various guests. The Motorsport Magazine team will be there too. And as Joe says, this magnificent Hawaiian Tropic car that you shot, Lyndon, is going to be there. Of course, we were hugely disappointed that there weren't any Hawaiian Tropic girls.
It would have been too cold. It was snowing elsewhere, and it was the first day of
fall. Am I not say that in this? In 2018,
I think it's fine. I think you're fine. It's Hawaiian Tropic Girl. It's fine. It's fine.
Right?
They're still on the group.
Don't Instagram it. Don't tweet it. Keep it off social.
that's a Lewis Hamilton reference there, isn't it? Yeah, Lewis's Christmas mail on Instagram.
Poor Lewis.
Poor soul.
Well, should we talk about that one another day? Yeah. We've all been there, Lewis, don't we?
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So, Lyndon, tell us what it was like to shoot this car, because I know you can't give away exactly where it was, but it was an unexpected...
I can give away a county, yeah. It was in, all I got was a postcode and address, or postcode in Wiltshire, and I was like, well, it's going to be a dealer or something like that. And you turn down this little track, and it's this guy's bungalow, and he opens up the electric garage door, and inside is this 956. Yeah. But then he tells me that's not his only one.
What?
He has a collection of them, and you're just like, in awe of him. But yeah, to just wheel it out, and he says, "There you go, help yourself, and take whatever you want off it." You know, so engine.
So yes,
got exposed,
you can come,
and
come and see it at a racetrack, but you can't touch it. Obviously, you can't
exactly,
take your own.
I think he's going to be it's going to be barriered off on that day. Yeah. But come and get up close and personal with it.
It is a condition of kind of modern life where we don't know our neighbours anymore, though, isn't it? Mm. And can you imagine if, like, you lived next door to someone for 3 years and you just sort of had to go and borrow a cup
over
of
the
sugar?
Fence, yeah.
And you said,
washing this.
You're out there cleaning your Prius or something. Wax on. But yeah, great story, isn't it, Joe? Like you say, this is the defining Group C car, isn't it? Yeah. And it was the first aluminium monocoque ground effect Group C car, and it just kicked off.
Yeah,
it was dominant.
It was great. Even though the engine wasn't supposed to be for endurance racing, and everything about it wasn't supposed to work, was it?
That's right.
Everything did work.
Just did.
Work together.
It even had a key, didn't it?
It had a key.
Which was in it.
It was amazing. It was original key. Oh,
yep.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And not this one, but the twin clutch gearbox was tested in racing on this car in the early 80s, and then now of course it's ubiquitous in road cars, the twin clutch box. Ironically, the racers didn't like it back then, you know, but of course it was before even the 640 Ferrari, paddle shift Ferrari, you know, it was a good 6-7 years before that Porsche were testing it. So a good story, and a typical Nigel Rees kind of style. It's one to sit down, get comfortable, and dive in.
Absolutely.
And read it and reread it. But it's very rewarding when you do. So, what have we got next, Damo?
What have we got next? Gordon Murray. Ah, the design lead legend that is.
Absolutely.
Crikey. Look at him there. He's 71.
Yeah.
He looks good for 71, doesn't he?
And he's still got... It's just ideas are pouring out of him. I know it's a cliche, but... We have a podcast, and please go onto the website and find the podcast. When we weren't recording the podcast, he was telling us some ideas that just blow your minds. The other stuff that he's working on, I mean, as innovative in other areas as the fan car was for Formula One, you know, in kind of housing and all sorts of various areas. You think, this guy shouldn't be allowed to pop his clogs.
No.
He's just wiring him up for the next 200 years.
We need to download him, don't we? We need to sort of put him on a hard drive somewhere.
That's right.
Because he's...
Well, like all people, you know, who claim to to be called a genius. He's not narrow in his interests, is he? He's got it's the breadth of interest that he's got, and that's why he is so good at this one thing. I mean, he, as you say, you know, it's from architecture to energy to, you know, obviously car design. He just knows so much about so much.
He has no formal engineering training at all. Yeah. And in the podcast, we had a great question from one of our listeners. It was a very technical question, and he gave the most eloquent reply. And I think Gordon asked him afterwards. So what's your training? None at all. He just gets it.
It was his first job. He just strolled in and just like going, right, you're the design director, off you go. Make us a Formula One car. And it's like, okay, fine, right. And he just did it. And it was amazing.
And he reveals some stuff in this interview, in this and the podcast that none of us knew before. It's particularly this relationship with Colin Chapman that I don't think anyone's particularly explored. Mm. And of course, their eras crossed over slightly, and it may have crossed over more than that, given maybe if the planets were aligned slightly differently. But I won't give it away. But there is some stuff in here that you won't have read before. Mm.
It's a very human story as well, because he talks about, obviously he's got the exhibition on at the moment, or had the exhibition
on.
And it sort of illustrated his breadth of excitement in other worlds. He's got road cars, he's got motorbikes, he's got, it's a rock and roll. He is rock and roll.
Yeah, his collection of rock and roll.
It's his inspiration as well, when you see his collection of road cars, which are all lightweight and
they all have Elans
and Fiat 500s, because they do the job but are so lightweight as well, and it comes across in his own designs, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think every car that was on display at this exhibition was sub 1,000 kilos, apart from one, which we won't give away. In fact, I'm not sure if it's in the piece or not. It's in the podcast.
There's two elements to the story, isn't there? There's the talking to him, and then as you mentioned, there's the podcast as well, which is which you sat down with Gordon Cruikshank and interviewed him. We've run an extract of that in the back of the magazine to give readers a taste of what they can get.
Page 92
online.
And it's a little bit more information on the opposing page 93 actually about Race Retro. So if you want to go straight to the page where you can find out more about Race Retro, page 93. American Scream. That's a hell of an opener you've got there, Damon.
Yes. Well, when you've got a Lola T70 and a 2015 Corvette at Daytona, you can't go wrong with it, can you? Makes it easier, really, doesn't it?
So what was Dickie up to this month then? Damn him. So off he went to Daytona to race in the Daytona Classic, which I guess isn't particularly well known maybe on this side of the pond, but hopefully we've captured it in this story. Mm-hmm. And Dickie raced two cars. And I think it's the first time he was there, first time he was on the banking. Mm. And it's just another typically great Dickie story from behind the wheel.
He did rather well as well, didn't he?
Yes. yeah, absolutely. he's particularly with the T70, he seems to be, again, it's a cliche, but he does seem to be at one with that car. I think he's got it figured out. And I'm sure his rivals, when they see him getting in that, they think, oh, right, this is not going to be easy, this one. And I think we showed one of his qualifying laps, I think it was. I'm looking over at Jack, who's out of shot. Yeah, it was one of his qualifying laps. He's on the motorsportmagazine.com website, and it's quite something. But again, Dickie's just got a really neat way of...
Yeah, it's a really personal approach as well, isn't it? The way that he writes is kind of very, very human as well, because obviously he's one of us, isn't he? He's kind of a guy that just so happens to be bloody good at driving racing cars
and words.
And words.
There's a quote on page 96. Think of a man-made place of worship with a cathedral-like sense of grandeur, and you're getting the picture. Yeah. That really, really lovely piece here.
I like the fact it's juxtaposed against a Volvo P544.
The absurdity of the event is, page 97, you'll see that.
Cool. So, yes, we shall.
Postcard from Daytona, that's a lovely piece.
Yeah, just
kind
of an overview of the whole of the event, more of the event. I don't think we should go.
We should go.
Next year.
Yeah, amazing cars.
This year.
This year now. Sorry.
2018. Yes. How to build a racing car designer. How do you build a racing car designer, Joe?
Well, don't ask me, ask Adrian Newey. This is a nice interview we've got. I mean, Adrian, you could, he's arguably the greatest designer. We talked about Gordon Murray. I mean, of his generation, of the new generation, Adrian Newey, he's got to be up there. We tempted him into an interview by suggesting that it take place at the Tamiya storehouse or warehouse, which is near to where Red Bull is based.
Secret location. We weren't allowed to tell anyone about it.
Because we knew that he, you know, was a fan of Tamiya models. And he jumped at the chance. And he's a difficult man to get hold of most of the time. But he jumped at the chance to be interviewed on location by Mark Hughes, our Grand Prix Formula One editor. And he really just talks about where his inspiration came from as a young man to move into racing car design, and also his what he thinks his greatest innovations are. And we won't ruin it by saying what they are, but they, I mean, just going through the list, it's just incredible what he's managed to do over the course of his career. And the great thing, my favourite thing about this story is the sense of fun that both of them have. You can just see it. Mark Hughes is loving it. Adrian Newey is loving it.
It's got to play with models all day.
And actually, I guess he's a big thanks to Tamiya and to the Hobby Co. Because this isn't necessarily somewhere where they allow the press. But I think it did bring him to life. I think to be able to poke around the models and the way that does segue into his innovations, I thought was nicely done. And when I was reading this, the surprise to me was that some of the innovations were those sort of like slap your forehead kind of simple, in a way. But that's his genius, isn't it? It wasn't a super complex front wing or anything like that. It's just a few things where you go, that makes sense. Why didn't anyone do that before? But how many of these? We've got six of his innovations, and then we've got a few more on the Motorsport Magazine website as well. So,
too many to print.
There were too many to print, weren't there?
A rather entertaining aside, when Mark came into the office the other day to talk to us about some stuff, he did mention about the interviews and the chat he had with Adrian. He was saying that when Adrian was going through the Lotus 49B, he was talking about his time in the wind tunnel when he was creating whichever car it was, and he said on the wind tunnel model there was a bit of a Tamiya 49B on the wind tunnel model that he was working on at the time. But I can't remember the car he was mentioning, but it was apparently there's a little plastic end plate, or there's a little plastic sort of aerofoil
on one of the models,
a wind tunnel model from a 49B that you were sort of used. So hence the image that we've used there, sort of a referencing from that.
But I mean, the other thing, I mean, he must be a difficult man, to live with. I mean, he talks here about where these ideas come to him, you know, and they come to him when he's on holiday with his family. They come to him when he's just about to go to sleep, and he has to go off and, into the bathroom with a notepad and jot it down, you know. Exactly, in his downtime. It's when he switches off from the, from the treadmill or the pressures of his day job. That's fascinating.
Are you like that, Joe? Is that how your genius works?
Yeah, I need more downtime.
Do you? We know how to fill out a holiday form.
We've been back how many days?
Two.
One for some, yeah.
Talking about genius, look at this.
Good segue.
Waiting for this.
talking about downtime.
Nick goes racing.
Page 112. The growth of historic motorsport in the UK and worldwide is just nuts at the moment. But I think what's interested me always about the Keep series is that it's kind of the affordable stuff. So you can buy a decent MGB, you know, 20 grand or so, set of tyres and a bit of your own sort of mechanical knowledge, and you can have a really fantastic season of racing. Mm. You don't have to buy a lightweight E-Type and AC Cobra to do this. So, and as sort of my own year progressed, I must admit, I just thought selfishly it would be nice to tell this story. I don't want people to think that historic racing is only lightweight E-types and AC Cobras. You know, it's MGs, it's Spridgets, TR4s, it's all sorts of fun stuff. You know, so we went from having what we thought was a broken car in testing, or I thought I'd broken the car in testing. The head gasket went.
You were driving it when it broke.
I was sat in the pit lane with the engine on when it broke.
You were sitting in it and it broke.
It broke. And it broke. I just maybe didn't look at the temperature gauge as often as maybe I should have.
But it all ended up okay.
It ended up okay. It was good fun. And then from that, Andrew Frankel has been enjoying an AMG GT4. Now, GT4 is of particular interest at the moment because it seems like it's kind of what GT3 should be. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Much more, they're way closer to the road version GT4 cars. And I believe there's the variety in the GT4 packs, from Mustangs to the Mercedes-Benz here, to Aston Martins, to Porsches, to McLarens.
BMWs, Maseratis.
Yep. You know. Yeah, it's just...
Everything.
Pretty much anything can be turned to a GT4 these days. Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's affordable, but it's on the affordable end of GT proper racing. Modern GT racing.
Modern racing, yeah. 100 grand.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of money. Of course, yeah. But...
Have you bought yours yet? Joe?
I'm just waiting for that pay rise.
Are you really? Keep waiting. What would you drive if you could have any GT4 car, chaps?
Wouldn't be a Porsche, because everyone's got a Porsche.
The Cayman.
The Cayman.
I've driven one. That's very good.
I'm sure it is.
It's very good.
It's a Porsche, of course.
Yeah. I've driven the McLaren as well.
What's the noisiest one? I'll have that.
Probably the Maserati. Yeah, that's a hell of a thing, that is.
But it looks so big and bulky, though, doesn't it, compared to the rest?
Yeah.
It's noisy. And it's noisy and it's big and bulky.
I'm sitting right here. I am sitting right here.
Which one best reflects your character?
Yeah, then? There we go. Is that not the question?
I think I probably would have.
You're going to have the Porsche?
I would, because it's a little bit of experience with them. It's because the grip and the power is well balanced. So I've driven the sort of McLaren version and it's fat, but it always feels like it needs a bit more power, loads and loads of grip. You should have a Mustang. Just saying. What, you like, you're not wearing one today, but you like your lumberjack shirt.
Yeah.
Your big beard.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah,
I think he's offered to buy you a Mustang. I think he has.
So next season we're doing.
We're going GT4 racing. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Joe, it's got to be an Aston Martin for you, isn't it?
Got to be.
You know, your refined culture.
This is all true. But I can't see past this AMG GT4. Having read for Andrew's piece, I think it sounds brilliant. We'll have a go.
Sold.
Right. Can we all have a go, please?
I think. That more or less rounds it up, because we've run out of time.
Yeah,
I'm afraid to
say. Probably some time ago. Yes.
Yeah, probably so, as usual. We've prattled on a little bit. So this is the issue commentary for the February 2018 issue of Motorsport magazine. On the rest of the pages, from around 130 onwards, we have our Speed Shop regular, which talks about cars that are for sale in the marketplace at the moment. We have Garagista, which focuses on the restoration of a Jordan F1 car, an MGB, and the, what else we got?
Jeff's lovely
Alpha.
Can't wait to see it finished.
It's not far off now as well. That's the kind of the soap opera in the magazine. That's the page to sort of follow. And the next couple of reports is getting really juicy now, I think.
Getting expensive.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. This is the issue commentary, February 2018 issue. Go and buy a copy. I'm really proud of this one. It's a good cover, and hopefully we paid tribute to this great man. All the best. Thanks, guys.
Pleasure.
Yeah, thanks.
See you next time.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.